It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre, and thank you, Lariats, and welcome, welcome everyone to the Sinner's Sunday Chapel. Where is it? Just down the street from the TNS Dojo. It's nice to see you all. As always, there's barbecue outside, a full bar in the back, and I can see most of you have found seats on our comfy recliners and couches, all scavenged from thrift stores. We have no ass-punishing benches here. Life is short. Why be uncomfortable? If you've been with us a while, you know that one of the recurring themes here is that people have not changed since the dawn of time, and they never, ever will. Now we're just coming out of Easter. They crucified JC. 3 days later, he punched that stone away from his own tomb and showed his adversaries a thing or three. Knowing this, lots of us kind of behave as we might at a concert or a movie, right? The encore is played or the climax happens and we head for the exits. I mean, who wants to get stuck in the traffic snarl getting out of the parking lot, right? Post-Easter, we tend to forget about JC and his story and go about our lives. But we miss out on some really fascinating stuff that can help you make sense of our current screwed-up world. Remember JC's crew, right? The 12 guys he ran with? The ones who swore up and down they'd never abandon him or let anyone lay a hand on him. Well, of course, to a man, when the heat was on and they watched him being manacled, they chickened out and denied him and hid and so on. Which is pretty typical behavior for most people in that situation. But once they saw what was done to JC, those same 12 guys, they went through a metamorphosis. They became what he was, warrior monks. Which I got into in a couple of previous shows that you can find at thatlarryshow.com. Those disciples got fire in the belly. They got mad. They got courage. Maybe because they felt such unbearable guilt at letting JC down while he was alive, that they resolved to not ever do that in his absence, which forged them into a kind of a spiritual delta force. Their faith and the power it gave them made them unbreakable and unbeatable. Last week in churches all over the world, they read a fascinating passage from Acts of the Apostles. Here's what it says. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them.
We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name?
A quick aside here. Note how the chief blowhard refuses to even say JC's name. He finds it that repulsive, and probably also figured that saying it out loud would publicize it, give it more power and strength, which is a common move among political weasels today, if you think about it. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We answer to God, not you." Man, that answer must have really pissed those guys off. The impertinence, the lack of respect, the refusal to capitulate, to bend the knee. Isn't that what happens now in politics and social media, huh? Congressional pukes and social media pukes do not like what some people are saying. And so they fabricate rules. Rules that you can't ever see. Rules that only they get to interpret and enforce selectively. And then they suspend or ban you, and demand that you delete your offensive post or tweet. Kowtow to them, acknowledge their power over you, and beg their forgiveness for being offensive. offensive or inappropriate. And then maybe, for reasons they need not reveal to you or anyone, they'll allow your voice to again be heard. Or not. The passage continues. The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. That is one rich passage. They had killed the ringleader, and now the politicos were putting his buddies on notice.
Don't even say his name, or else.
And Petey and his crew basically tell them to get bent, and then revel in the fact that they were now outlaws. They're proud to be dishonored, finger quotes, by a bunch of lying weasels. Pete and the boys probably lit out of there and maybe headed for a saloon to have a drink and celebrate their victory, temporary as it was. There are ancient artists' conceptions of that Sanhedrin court, and it looks remarkably similar to the American Congress. Another group of mostly lying, mostly larcenous, power-mad, hypocritical punks and punkettes who care not a whit about anything but holding on to and expanding their own power. Even the furniture is the same as it was 2,000 years ago and halfway around the world. First thing politicos do is elevate themselves, right? Several feet above the accused makes them feel omnipotent, and the accused feel small and vulnerable. They also dig wearing robes, right?
Look at our costumes. We have the power.
Can you imagine the fury of those Sanhedrin once those apostles left? They were probably foaming at their mouths. Then they doubtless started drafting subpoenas, huh? And rewriting the rules so they could more easily convict the apostles of crimes they had yet to invent. Crimes that violated their terms of service. Mountains of fine print, written to give them something to point at as they banged their little gavels. Along with that passage from Acts was read a piece from the Gospel of John, and a very cool one it is. Some of JC's crew were fishermen, and this incident occurred some time after he had been killed. There they are, night fishing and getting skunked. They're only a few hundred yards offshore, and this voice from a shadowy figure on the beach suggests they throw their nets over the starboard side instead of port, which probably seemed nutty to them. But they do it anyway, and suddenly their nets are so full of fish they cannot even haul it aboard. They have to tow the catch back to shore. When they get there, dawn is breaking, and this mysterious guy has already started a bonfire to cook the fish. He says, "Hey, let's have some breakfast," and that's about when they realize who he is. What must they have felt? What kind of joy, huh? And awe and wonderment. So they all eat, and as they do, JC asks Peter three times if he loves him. And each time Pete says, "You know I do." And each time JC says, "Well, that's good. Then take care of my sheep, or watch my lambs, or feed my people." And what he's doing is reminding Pete to keep the faith and mind the store, get the word out. And it's all very cool and very good. But then, being truthful above all else, here's what JC says to Pete before he vanishes. "When you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you're going to stretch out your hands and somebody else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Whoa. That is a warning that a time will come when others will dress him and lead him to his execution, which they eventually did, and they crucified Peter upside down. And like JC, Peter was no criminal. All he did was tell the truth. Maybe the original struggle is misnamed. You know that thing about good and evil? Maybe they should rename it. It's really a struggle between truth and lies. Now, how do you tell the truth tellers from the liars? Well, it's so easy. The liars are always, always the ones trying to shut the others up. No exceptions, ever.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted.
Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. Come back and hang with us for the regular show this Tuesday or thereabouts at thatlarryshow.com. Until then, keep the faith and don't let the liars shut you up. And happy Mother's Day.